He's our voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Well, hello there, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Good. How are you, Melissa?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for asking. You know, I didn't have anything in particular to talk about today, so I kind of left it up to the audience, and I got a lot of questions, and it turns out, really shocking, a lot of people want to talk about the flu. That's what they want to talk about. So,
Great. Yeah.
So first and foremost, Dr. Brown, I am seeing, which I think you had already kind of hinted at last week. I guess the flu season is kind of wrapping up in our southern hemisphere. I guess in the Australia area, they're just kind of getting over their flu season, their influenza season. And they're calling it kind of a twin-demic, where they saw a huge uptick in both COVID and flu cases. This was an interesting question. Is it really an uptick in both of those, or are we seeing, I think you had mentioned in the past, more viruses? Like, we're seeing a lot of viral infections right now. So is it people miscalling it, you know, an uptick in flu cases? Or is it just like we're seeing an uptick in viral cases? What are your thoughts on this?
So, you know, when you hear, I think we talked about this last week. I mean, when you hear someone say, you know, I had the flu, it doesn't necessarily mean that they, you know, they may have not had the actual flu. Mm-hmm. They may have actually had an upper respiratory tract infection or some systemic viral infection or something else. When you hear, you know, places like Australia or countries say they saw an uptick in flu, that has to do with testing. So they will see the testing increase in the flu. So you could be pretty confident to say that there was an increase in the actual flu. And that is sort of what we've been talking about, that the expectation is that we would likely going to see a, you know, bad flu season.
Mm-hmm. So do we have any idea of, you know, because, again, we hear that there are different strains of the flu, and got another question this morning asking, first of all, how many different strains are there? Is it like COVID where it could be something different that we've never seen before?
Sure.
You know, so maybe just kind of explaining that a little bit.
Sure. Melissa, that's a lecture and a half. But
oh, lovely. Well, guys, we only have 10 minutes with him, so we're going to get the footnotes version.
I'll give you the very, very quick version of it.
Okay.
So every season the flu has mutations related to what's happening around the country, around the world. Every time you get infected with the flu, influenza proper, you end up having multiple strains in your body itself. That's how much it rapidly divides. It does not. It's not as stable as COVID-19. COVID-19 is pretty stable. The flu is not. It is very unstable. Its genetic code has no protection for mutations. It mutates a lot, and therefore there's a lot of different strains. So there's that on a regular basis. There's also, again, not going into the technical details of this, there are also an opportunity for the flu virus to what we call genetic shift. So there's a major change in the flu itself. Whenever we see major changes, that's when we saw the Spanish flu in 1918. H1N1 was one. H1N5 was one. Those are major changes that we haven't seen for decades, if not a century. So those are definitely the concerning ones. So the answer is yes, it mutates a lot on a regular basis, and it can mutate to be very severe. And that's what we're always watching out for. The number of different strains, billions, trillions. There's no way to really, every year we have to have the predominant strains are the ones that are within the flu vaccine. The flu vaccine uses proteins and different types of proteins related to that flu from previous years. And since we haven't had a bad one in the last 2 years, the previous strains have not been necessarily predominant. So we're really trying to make our best estimate on what is going to be the predominant one this year.
Okay, so I think that's where people get confused. So there's billions of strains mm-hmm. of the flu. But there are only, like, when we come out with a vaccine, you and me, it's you and me making the vaccine. When the vaccine
we're
is
making vaccines,
right?
Down the road.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. You and I, when we have our free time. Well, when I say it, I'm like, you know, when we make that vaccine, it's like, no, me and Dr. Brown aren't making vaccines. But
the royal we.
You know, exactly. When the vaccine comes out every year, I don't know why the number 4 is sticking out in my mind, but isn't it like a combination? Like, I feel like it's like we kind of rotate between, you know, we're going to do the A vaccine this year. Oh, we're going to do the B vaccine next year or whatever. Like, am I sure. making any sense? I don't know what I'm talking about. So, give me out of here.
you're there, but not quite.
Thank you. Help me. Help me to get there.
So there are two types of flu. Two big categories of influenza. There's influenza A and there's influenza B. Those are the two major ones that we're going to talk about right now. Those are the two major ones that we're concerned about. A is usually the one that's more severe and is earlier in the year. B is usually less severe and later in the, you know, usually in the middle of summer to late, middle of winter to late winter. So January, February is when you start seeing flu B. So there are two major types. Those are completely different types of influenza. It doesn't matter about strains. They're different types. They're
Got
not
it.
Strains. They're types, just to make it easier. And then of the flu, each influenza vaccine has a combination of influenza A strains and influenza B strains. And what they do is they include, the CDC will include the major strains are usually sort of the first one. They say, well, okay, what was the really bad strain that we had, you know, in the last 10 years? We're going to make sure that's in there because we want to make sure everybody is immune to that strain because we know that strain is really bad. And then we look and say, okay, what are the other pieces that are there? What have we seen in the last couple of years? What have we seen around the world? If we can do it rapidly enough, we could probably grab the Australia strain and throw it in there. We're just not fast enough to do that, but sometimes we can do that if we know what that strain is. So it has multiple proteins from the strain. I want to make sure I'm very clear. It has proteins from the strain. It is not the flu virus itself. There is no active flu virus. This is not an inactivated virus. This is our vaccine. This is just proteins that let your body know, hey, look out for, you know, this type of protein. If you see this, you need to get ready to fight it off.
So you know why I love that whole explanation, Dr. Brown? Because that needs to be advertised better. Because I think when people hear about the flu vaccine already, people are like, why am I going to get the flu vaccine this year when we haven't had a major flu outbreak in the last 2 years? But what you just explained in the flu vaccine would make any non-believer of the flu vaccine, I would think, be more inclined to get it. Because you're always thinking you're injecting into yourself a strain of the flu. Like, that's right. What people think. When you get right. the vaccine, that's what they're thinking in their head.
Right.
But your explanation just, to me, explained exactly why, when people say, well, why should I get the flu vaccine? Because it's giving you a better chance of fighting the flu and not ending up in a hospital bed. You just explained it perfectly.
That's
so
exactly.
Thank you for doing that.
And Melissa, the other piece is that I think COVID has helped us from an infectious disease standpoint to say, listen, vaccines are not 100% effective.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody used to say, every time I get the flu vaccine, I get the
sick.
Flu.
Right.
Every time, you know, I got the flu, even if I got the flu vaccine, that's not the purpose. And I think COVID has explained that really well.
Right.
Everybody realizes you can get the COVID vaccine, but you can still get COVID.
Right.
The flu is the exact same way. In fact, the flu vaccine efficacy is not as high as the COVID. The efficacy of the COVID is you know, in the 90%,
mm-hmm.
where the flu is probably in the 70%.
Right. But it's always been that way. For the record, everyone,
exactly.
It's always been that way.
Exactly.
Interesting. Interesting. Exactly. We're chatting with Dr. Brown, taking your questions this morning, a lot of them having to do with the flu. So here's a question for you, Dr. Brown. Many high risk for COVID individuals have been wearing KN95 masks out of the house and restricting individuals they see indoors. What is this doing to our immune systems, and how can they keep their immune systems functioning properly without getting any exposure to COVID or even the flu?
Right. So there's always a risk, you know, when you take extra precautions and you know are super cautious, that you can not allow your immune system to see all the goodies that are out here in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That is really a children thing, not really an adult thing. For children, this is where there's been some interesting studies that say if you kind of keep a child away from everything, then the likelihood that they're going to get viruses and unexplained viruses later on will be slightly increased. For adults, by that time, your immune system has seen a lot of the different things. You are obviously being more careful about different types of viruses that are new in society, like COVID-19. But as far as someone who is immunocompromised, the risk of getting an infection is so much higher than the risk of not having your immune system aware of that virus to fight it off. So I think that's really the key here is that when someone is immunocompromised, when their immune system is basically down, they can't mount a response. And if they can't mount a response, it doesn't really matter. They're not going to have any memory. They're not going to really be responding to it. So I think that's why we continue to make that recommendation. If you are immunocompromised on medications that keep your white blood cell counts and keep your immune system down, then you need to take extra precautions, because if you do get infected, it could be catastrophic. And so, not just with COVID-19, it could be with anything.
Okay. So as far as getting the flu, though, for example, Dr. Brown, we had talked last week about my husband getting incredibly sick. I still have no idea if he got the flu or not. But,
yeah.
If our bodies are used to those things, they've been exposed to it, then why are we expecting such an awful flu season?
That's a great question. And the answer is that it has absolutely to do with the mutations that we see with the flu.
Okay.
As they change, our body can only, we have a lot of variability in how we can respond to viruses, but unfortunately, the viruses are mutate a lot faster than we can modify in our body. So again, we want to have some ability to fight it off. And who knows, maybe your husband had some antibodies already against this virus that he had, and, he could have got a lot sicker.
Mm. Good point. Okay.
That's sort of the way it goes. But ultimately, it has to do with the mutations that are there. So again, the more exposure, so the likelihood that he's going to get reinfected with the same virus is almost zero now, given sort of where it is, as opposed to, and he's now immune to this type of virus. But there's trillions of viruses out there,
different versions
of viruses that it doesn't really help.
So a couple questions really quick about the flu vaccine. Is there any benefit to wait a little bit longer for a better vaccine later in the season, or are they pretty much going to be exactly the same as they are right now?
By this time, they're pretty much the same. I don't imagine we're going to have anything. If there's a major, major outbreak, then there'll be a modified and potentially a flu booster. I've never seen that, but there is the potential. We've had, the ability to make the vaccine and make it fast has changed throughout the year, so we can make those modifications and change it. I always recommend people around this time, September, October, now it's already October, I recommend that you get the flu vaccine. Your immune system is not going to wane over the next, 6 months in relation to it.
Mm-hmm.
So getting it now is really important. And again, we are really fighting off the influenza A, which historically is the more aggressive of the flus.
Lovely. And last question, I know you get this a lot, but I just wanted to reiterate the very common question. Is it okay to get both your COVID and flu vaccine on the same day?
It is, yes, absolutely. I say that sort of, I have a smile on my face. It is. I just did it the other day. So
look at you.
I got the flu and the COVID booster at the same day.
So
I told you when I do that, now if you haven't got your COVID booster, now is the time. And now is the time to get the flu. And I did absolutely fine.
I was going to say, you sound fine.
Not a problem.
Okay.
No side effects.
That's good to know. So. Well, Dr. Brown, always appreciate you coming on. And thank you so much for taking all of our questions this morning. And I look forward to chatting again next week.
My pleasure, Melissa.
All right. Dr. Brown of Griffin Health, what would we do without him? He is our voice of reason in the medical field here on WICC.